Hey, what's up, coaches? Welcome to our coach podcast. This is episode number 3. Me and Eric are here with a special guest today.
With John Hill, the 3.
That's me. That's my name. Yes. I am John.
John Hill, the 3rd. You are our student pastor at the Chandler campus.
That's right.
Doing a bang-up job.
Well, I appreciate that. That warms my heart. Thank you.
It's true. It's sincere.
And speaking of bang-up.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Jerry just got right into what the content of this podcast is.
Wow.
This whole podcast, we're talking about sexual temptation with John Hill, the 3rd, today.
Man, before we address what just happened, John, give
there's
us
a lot to unpack there.
I haven't met a whole lot of the 3rds in my life that I know of. So how did you come to be the 3rd John Hill on this planet?
It's true. To distinguish me from my grandpa, John Hill Sr., shout out if he's listening. I doubt he is. I don't think he knows what a podcast is. Then you got my dad, who is John Hill Jr., but he goes by Bill Hill, which I didn't realize till college is funny because my dad's name rhymes until someone my roommate pointed it out in college that your dad's name is Bill Hill. So love my dad. Shout out to Bill Hill because he does know what a podcast is. And then you got me. I'm the 3rd son. And I think the real reason is because my parents ran out of creative names. My 2 older brothers got like creative names and then they just, I wasn't planned, which also is the content of this podcast, I guess. I wasn't planned. And so they're like, yeah, just copy and paste a name that already exists. So you got me, John Hill 3. Did not intend for that to rhyme, but I like it.
That is terrific. And you're not a father yet, but
I am not.
Are you thinking there may be a John William Hill the 4th?
Dude, that'd be awesome. That'd be crazy. So me and my wife, Jordan, if you're listening to this and I find out I have a kid right now, that's awesome. I would love that. So that'd be super cool.
Wow. So John, you've heard it here. John is ready to be a father.
That's right. You heard it here first, folks.
Other than that, something else about you. You're a Tennessee Volunteers fan.
I am.
That's great. More power to you. Can you speak to why that is the... possibly the lamest athletic franchise name in the history of names.
That is, all right, I get a little defensive about that. So I grew up in Tennessee, been a Volunteer fan my entire life. My wife went to school there, grew up around there, whatever. But the entire origin story of the Tennessee Volunteers is that actually back in the War of 1812, a war that most people forgot about and don't think of very often. And if you do, that's kind of weird. In the War of 1812, Andrew Jackson, who was a president, by the way, led army from Tennessee who were volunteers to go fight in the Battle of New Orleans. They didn't have to go there, but they fought. So they're volunteers. So that's the reason why. You're welcome, New Orleans, however you say it. There you go.
Wow.
So I'm a little bit defensive.
Yeah, there's a fire that we just lit under you and I
there's some emotional stuff there. There's some emotional stuff there that I didn't even realize was there. So
wow. I'm glad we could help you process that.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah, it wasn't the worst year to be a Volunteers fan this year. I had a pretty good basketball team.
Pretty good basketball team. Yeah. That was unbelievable. And it made the football season that was the worst season in school history feel a little bit better that basketball went well this year. So it was a little bit of an up. So
man, that's great. That's a good history lesson right here.
That's right.
Just people are going to get all sorts of stuff out of this podcast.
That's right. You're going to get 1812 history and Tennessee State history. You didn't even anticipate that. You thought you were coming here for a sexual sin podcast.
Which speaking of, man, let's talk about some awkward stuff.
Yeah. So John, thanks for agreeing to do this episode. Yeah. It's probably, you know, one of the ones that, you know, you're like the short straw that you drew for this one. But we all know that sexual temptation is real. And for our students, we know that these kinds of conversations and this kind of struggle that they're up against on a regular basis is a daily thing. We know that we're going into camp and coaches are going to be having conversations with students as some of the sin and some of the temptation in this area comes to light at camp. So John, can you just kind of like maybe just speak a little bit to our coaches about like just where you see from your vantage point the battle of sexual temptation, you know, hitting the most for students?
Yeah, absolutely. And coaches, just to you, from the perspective of a student pastor here at CCV, thank you for wading into tough conversations with students. I just want to thank you ahead of time. This is not easy. And part of what doesn't make this easy is the reason I would say the answer to that question. It's nothing new that teenagers want to have sex. That is nothing new. That's not the thing that makes this complicated for students right now. It's that there are so many more new ways to hide your sex life than ever before. And that's part of the world, the modern world we live in. And we're also so new to all the technology we have. We haven't really figured out, I don't think, a proper way to communicate restrictions and students to understand those and live those out the same way with other previous systems we've had for protecting people from sexual sin. So I think this is a huge issue because of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were talking a little bit earlier, like you're 10 years younger than me.
Yep.
So I can still remember when the internet first arrived in the world. And then it was even later that you realized there were naked people on it. You've always known the internet, but still probably like took a while before you're like, oh man, there's naked people on here. Our students today have never not known smartphones and yep. like just the acceleration of the technology and the accessibility of all of it is insane.
It's the Wild Wild West out there, man. Anything goes. You can find anything, anything accessible. And that's the thing. A lot of parents don't know how to communicate that or even understand all that's available and what's out there. They want to help, but they just don't know how. And even for us, man, like if you're a coach who didn't grow up with this in the same way, maybe for you, you feel that way where this is just hard to know how to help your students because there's just so many things and where do you even start?
Yeah. What are a few of those that like, I mean, everybody knows like, okay, there's porn on the internet, but like, there are so many other avenues. Like, what are some of the most common ones students are just wrestling with?
Absolutely. It's not just porn. It's even the opportunity to have a completely sexual relationship with people you know. And you could keep it hidden if you wanted to from the closest people around you. Apps like Snapchat, which is generally viewed as a social media app. Snapchat was originally designed for sending naked pictures. That's originally what it was for. There is no social media app like Snapchat where an image is deleted 7 seconds later where you should be able to send money to another individual. It's awful. And that's originally the intentions of an app like Snapchat that's commonly used as social media. Student of mine, he had to make it a tough decision where when he was struggling with this, he actually deleted Snapchat and then had me set settings on his phone to where he couldn't even bring it back onto his phone at all because of those kind of things and how difficult this can be. That's one of the things. Then also just you can Google anything and clear your search history and just hide it. That's just as simple. Then also social media, man, there's stuff all over. Twitter, Instagram, whatever accounts that you can follow. There's plenty of opportunity everywhere.
Yep. It's absolutely true. And coaches, just in case you don't know, like Snapchat is more of the text messaging service for students today. So this is they're living and they're communicating through Snapchat more than they are just opening up a text message today. So that temptation is in front of them 24/7. So let's just say, John, we know that at camp this summer, there's going to be that moment where, you know, the evening session, students are going to be challenged and there's going to be an opportunity to share some of what maybe they've been hiding. So let's just say that your coach and your student comes to you and they're struggling with some form of sexual sin. What do our coaches need to know?
Yeah. And you used a word that I think hits it and points us actually to the Bible. The Bible gives us a simple answer about this. Use the word hiding. A lot of it's nothing new, like I said, that teenagers want to have sex and that people hide their sin. And when we hide it, the picture that the Bible actually gives us in 1 John is walking in the darkness. And walking in the darkness, you can do anything you want to do because nobody can see. There's no access. No, you're isolated relationally and emotionally. And like I said, there's what makes this complicated. There's more ways to hide your sexual sin and your sex life than ever. So the answer the Bible actually also gives us is the answer is to walk in the light. Walking in the light is the answer. And if hiding is walking in the dark, honesty and being honest and finding ways to be consistently honest is the answer to that.
Yep. Yep. So creating this culture of openness and honesty from coach to student is key. What about like some steps, something that coaches can remember in this moment where they're having this conversation with a student?
Yes. So for coaches that are having a conversation with a student, this comes up at CIY or at junior high camp. A simple thing to remember, we'll put it as the ABCs. Remember ABC of walking in the light. Accountability, block access, cling to Jesus. Accountability, block access, cling to Jesus. And good. I can explain a little more of what those mean.
It's good.
Yeah. Accountability, what that looks like is simply put, is a student needs people in their life that they are honest with about their sex life, consistently honest with. So for an example of what that may look like is that for you coaches, what a student may need is for you to be that person in their life who they talk to. Maybe that's setting up from that meeting you have there, you set up a time at your next weekend experience where 30 minutes before or 30 minutes after you meet with that student and you guys have an honest conversation. If you need more questions and things, what kind of questions do you ask? You can talk to your student pastor on your campus. I know they'll be able to give you plenty of information about what kind of questions. But setting a time once a week to meet in person. And the important thing though, is to be honest. Being honest is the only way that this works.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. So A, accountability, B, block access.
Yes, block access. That means make it to where you can't hide anymore. We were in the dark, now we're in the light. We've been honest about what we're dealing with. So now we got to stay in the light. So you make it to where you can't go back. So what that looks like, I've had for students that are struggling with porn or using apps like Snapchat, I had a student of mine, like I mentioned earlier, he was struggling with having sexual relationships on Snapchat. So he deleted the app and made it to where he couldn't access it anymore. To be able to do that, that's as simple of setting those kind of restrictions as Googling how do you set those restrictions. It's as simple. It could be done in a meeting with a student in 5 minutes. It's simple. And it's just Googling what that is. Another example for relationships as well. I had a student who their coach would text them before they'd leave on a date and ask them what their plan was. And they plan ahead of time what they were going to do for that date and where they were going to go. And then the student would text them to follow up after, or the coach would even set an alarm for the next day at like 10 in the morning, like, hey, how'd you do? And they'd have that honest conversation and creating a way to block access to that. Maybe students, and the point of all this is students are going to have to make some hard decisions. Whether that's deleting apps, blocking access to things that they would normally use and that's seen as normal, like normal social media apps that people would use. Some students can't handle that. Some students, their friends are used to going over a boyfriend or girlfriend's house and they're able to hang out. Nobody's over there. Maybe they can't handle that. And they can only hang out with their boyfriend or girlfriend at Dutch Bros after school. Blocking access.
That's good. That's good. And John, probably the most important of the three, ABC, cling to Jesus. Why is that so important?
Absolutely. Some of these students who are wrestling with this, what you may find, depending on their situation, is this is more than just recreation. For some of these students, this is a way to cope. And this has become something bigger and they don't even realize it yet. And they're setting in a pattern of addiction in their lives that they're not even aware of. And the thing that I know is accountability is awesome. Blocking access is unbelievable, necessary pieces of it. But there's only one thing that can change the hearts of people and renew minds, and that's the power of the Word of God. And so you got to cling to Jesus. Coaches, what that looks like is you set up a Bible reading plan with your student right there in that first conversation. Use the YouVersion app like how we normally do for students. The power of the Word of God is required for this.
Absolutely.
Dude, that's great. I know like if you pay attention to statistics, at all, like porn is becoming a just skyrocketing issue for girls as well. And it used to just be thought of like, no, this is just a guy thing. But by the same token, I'm sure with whether it's physical relationships or porn or whatever, like there's got to be some level of difference between how a girl coach might approach this conversation or what a girl student is dealing with emotionally and spiritually versus a guy. Like, can you speak from your seat to any differences you see that our girl coaches should be aware of?
Yeah, and for girl coaches, I cannot imagine what it's like to have walked through the side of sexual temptation and the challenges that come along with that from the perspective of a of a teenage girl who's walking through this, but as I've seen how my girl coaches who have handled it so well, and women that I know in my life who've walked through this so well, something that I see from our culture is there's a shame that can be put on girls about this subject that's different than guys get handed. And it's not fair. It's not right. But our girls are experiencing it and they're living it. So how do we navigate that? I think there's a level of grace, patience, and wisdom that has to be given in that initial conversation, especially with our girls. Because some of our boys, for them, it's hard to understand to be heartbroken over this. It's hard for them to understand. But for our girls, a lot of them are, in my experience of what I've seen, they're coming heartbroken and feeling shame because of just how culture set up about this subject for girls. So I think having a lot of discernment in the demeanor of how a girl is coming to you in this subject, of how to handle that initial conversation. It may just be as simple as listening and praying with them and setting up the next meeting because they need that. And they need that patience and grace in that moment.
So good, John. If you were to give our coaches just one takeaway from what we've talked about today, what would you say?
Yeah, my takeaway would be write down the ABCs of walking in the light in your phone. Open a note in your phone. Not if you're driving right now listening to this, that would be incredibly dangerous. But write down a note in your phone, the ABCs of walking in the light: accountability, block access, cling to Jesus. And here's the reason why. As some of you listen to this right now, you're realizing, I need this. And if you're honest with yourself, it's where you're at. And we're not here to condemn you. We're not here to judge you. We love you. And we're here to help you. As a student pastor who has coaches on his team, we love you and we want to help you. And you may need to have a conversation with your student pastor. Maybe that's your next step and you need to write these down for you. Then I also would say, maybe for you, you're writing these down to hold on for your student for later, because you are going to have students in the future that come to you and need this information. So either you need this now for you or you need it later for your students. So please write this down, the ABCs of walking in the light in your phone: accountability, block access, cling to Jesus.
Boom.
Dude, that's so good.
Mic drop, man. John, JH3.
Is I.
Thank you so much for your time today. Thanks for your awesome work in Chandler. Big shout out to all of our Chandler coaches and to really all of our coaches at CCV. Thanks for doing what you do. We can't do student ministry without you. And thanks for being intentional with your personal growth, because we know when the coach gets better, the whole student ministry gets better. We'll see you next week for episode 4 of the Coach Podcast.